I mean, that was one of the great things about camp, that you had the option to do and try stuff.
They had started rumors. Townies are coming into camp. Townies are coming into camp. And people were really anxious at night. Kids were really anxious. Yeah. Staff was really anxious.
I remember cooking London broil and hamburgers and hot dogs on the golf course.
Very funny. So the first year I start, I'm an alanim. I'm an older soph. They tell me I have to wait on tables. I didn't have a clue what that even meant.
Welcome to the One Mason Road Camp Tevye podcast. I'm Rob Goodwin. I have two special guests tonight. Some say your first concerts at camp set the tone for years to come, and I believe that to be true. One of my first concerts in bunk 2 from 1974 is here tonight. My other guest was around the bunk so much at that time, we probably should have just taken him in. And I had to wait two more years for him to be my counselor. Please welcome Jay and Joey, Jay Rubens and Joey Karras. Gentlemen, how are you?
We're wonderful. Glad to be here. Thank you for having us.
Great to be here. Good. Rob was one of my best campers ever.
Oh, you're just saying that. You're saying in the 1974 Kalanu.
1974 Kalanu was.
I can
guess. You get Joey to stop talking.
Is close. No, it was Goody, You'll Kill Me.
Yeah.
Fortunately, that didn't happen yet.
No, but I think he meant it in humor, not in
you were the best.
Danger.
I see. Not in danger.
You'll Kill Me. You're very funny.
That's right. I still know you as Goody, though, but I'll call you Rob.
Okay. Very good. So, Joey, you and I spoke a couple times in the past few months, and even though decades have passed, I felt like we speak all the time. It was really funny.
Love that. Yeah. No, any camp friend is a lifelong friend.
Absolutely.
You were both a camper, a counselor, and a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay and I started together in bunk 2 in 1967. So we have been friends now for approximately 60 years. And it's a great friendship. We're both very lucky.
Sure. I am. And we've never had one single problem.
Well, that's not true.
It isn't?
No, we had a problem and it...
just one? Just one, though.
No, he'll tell you. He'll tell you the story.
There was a Klebanow family at camp for many, many years. Do you remember from Danbury?
Okay.
And Jay and I, for some reason, Jay's parents would drive to camp at 6 in the morning before anybody arrived. And they were always nice enough to save us a bunk next to one another. But I believe it was in 1968 or 1969. For some reason, there was a turnover and a bunk opened up next to someone else and Jay moved. And I was very upset.
No, I moved next to Jack Klebanow. That's what upset you.
And we've never seen him since.
No. So that's right. I was friends with Jack for one summer and Joey for 60 years. So we'll see where that happened. But he's never let me forget it, nor has he let me forget that his favorite summer, we both went like 12 or 13 years, but his favorite summer was the summer I didn't go.
That was the best summer ever. That was 1973 or 74, I believe. And we were counselors, but Jay took a summer off for school or something like that. And it was just a wonderful summer. Great camaraderie among all my friends at that time. Andy Shackett, Mark Robinson, Alan Barnett, all great guys. Jay wasn't in the way.
He liked to be number one instead of number two, so to speak.
But Jay, what about when you were in Yavna and Joey was not? That must have been a good summer.
Well, I don't tell him that because I don't want to hurt his feelings. I'm a different kind of person. So, you know.
Jay was 8 years old.
Plus I was eight, so... And I was when I was eight, I was about the same weight that I am now. So it was, you know,
right.
I wasn't yeah, me popular too. Then, but yeah, I grew out of it.
So those are Aaron Gordon years, obviously.
Phyllis,
I mean, we've had several guests on who have talked about the Aaron Gordon years, but I would like to hear your perspective, what you guys remember.
What?
He's asking for your perspective.
Oh, my perspective. Well, Aaron Gordon to us was like God. He was like, I remember Joey, years later, we went to a reunion, maybe the 50th or whatever it was, and we got to sit with him
right
before he passed. And there's a picture of us like on our knees, just next to his chair, just talking to him because he was the icon. He was the guy. He was the one who was Tevye. He represented the brand. He represented the everything great. And if you even ever get a chance to talk to him, it was like a big thrill. But he was wonderful when I think about, you know, those years, yeah.
He was a wonderful director at our camp. And I remember before we went to camp, I believe he came to our house in Newton with a movie screen and showed film of camp to our family. And my extended family, I had cousins at camp for years and years and years. And I think Aaron, not recruited, but came and sold the camp to us. And on day one, we were sold. We loved it from the second we got there. I had a younger brother eventually. I had two older sisters there. It was great. And Jay was like a brother my whole life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a huge, huge part of our relationship. You know, Joey and I went to camp. Then we went, you know, we followed each other straight through junior high school, and even we went to college. Our colleges weren't that far apart, you know, from Hartford to UMass. And we would see each other then. And it's just been really wonderful through all the years. It's just when you have that.
But to this day, we talk about camp.
Yes, all the time. And when you have that kind of history, it's ingrained. It's part of who you are, especially when you get 2 months away from home. And also when we went from being counselors to kitchen boys, we started the CIT program, right?
Junior counselor program, right.
How'd you start it?
I can tell. Jay and I were in the kitchen together, and we were all wonderful kitchen boys, but Jay really didn't want to work. So, you know.
That's right.
You know, and I think we were out of Telchai. We spent a year in the kitchen with a great group of guys. And at that time, it was the kids you went to camp with. So being a kitchen boy was just like being in an extra bunk. And the following year, again, Jay didn't want to really work. So John Cohen, the camp managing director, owner, was in our bunk our entire history. And the three of us, myself, Jay, and John Cohen, John said, okay, we'll be junior counselors. And they took us on. And I believe that was the very first junior counselor there ever was. And at that time, there were no CITs.
Right.
So we got to be counselors a year early, and it was great. I worked on water skiing, and Jay worked on sleeping in his bed.
Right.
Everybody knows that. Four square.
Thank God my work habits changed. But no, I used to put the kids out. They'd play like four square, and I'd take a nap, and they'd take those four squares in front of
them. There you go.
Yeah.
No, I was in the kitchen for 1 year.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, because I skipped my CIT year to go to Israel.
Oh, okay.
So when I came back, obviously want to come back to camp, I was not allowed to be a JC because I skipped my CIT year.
Oh, okay.
So I spent a summer in the kitchen.
So there was no such thing as a CIT when we were there.
Right.
And you went to Israel. Our big trip was to go to Wayland Park. And
Yeah, sure.
And that's as far as we'd go from camp.
Whitcomb's,
which became Riverside.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, if you know, we would win on a bunk, but Jay, for some reason, never made his bed. So we always had trouble doing that.
See, do you remember, I remember all the bunks I was in, we went on a bunk every week. And we
really?
You don't remember
even
that?
Even when Jay was your counselor? That's impressive.
And we would campaign to go to the National Mall if we won four in a row. Yeah.
And did you win that campaign?
Yeah, a couple times.
Nice.
In the camp bus.
There was an Orange Julius there.
Orange Julius. I was just going to say that. Yeah. That was a big,
I don't know why I remember that, but it was a big deal to get an Orange Julius.
I don't remember even having an Orange Julius.
It wasn't nice.
Who knows?
But like I say, you know, we started at 9 years old. We stayed there till we were probably about 20, 21.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just from the Aaron Gordon days. And after he left, we had a variety of directors for a couple of seasons, which were not as wonderful as Aaron was, but they were good, and we always had a very good time. We loved
it. Sure.
He's the guy who, he was a fake, Fishstein, or what was this guy's name?
We don't name names.
Okay, we don't name names.
Well, his name's been mentioned in a positive way before.
Danny Fishbane had it for a year. There was another gentleman who had it for a year or two or three.
I think Danny was two?
Danny Fishbane.
I believe we were counselors under his leadership.
Celtics came. Steve Kuberski and Hank Finkel and JoJo White.
That's right. That was a great day. I remember that. Those pictures live on in infamy.
With Hank Finkel.
And I've said this before, you know, my first year and the Celtics are coming. Wow. How lucky am I?
Right.
You know, aside from having Jay as a counselor.
Exactly.
You know.
And Jay, who were your co-counselors? Do you remember? I'm guessing Mark Robinson.
Yep. It wasn't Messenger. It wasn't, I don't remember.
Mark Robinson.
John David was the following.
It's probably John.
John David.
Yeah. Was it John?
Yep.
Who was my water skiing co-instructor.
He was
It was great. Wonderful out on the lake.
He was my idol. Yep.
He's great.
He's
great
a guy. Yep.
Jay had great memories of Skunk Hollow also.
So I went to Skunk Hollow. I met somebody in aquatic school. We did that as well. We did the aquatic.
Did you do that, Rob? Aquatic school?
I did. I worked at, I think I worked at 4 years, and I actually ran the kitchen too.
So we were in the kitchen for aquatic school.
Yeah.
And we would even stay at the end of the summer and close camp, which was also great. Okay. And it was the same group of people, some of the names you've mentioned here, Neil Futrian, Alan Barnett, John Cotlier. Jay, who else was with us those days? You remember?
Well, it was Matt Sawyer.
Yeah.
Matt Sawyer. Tampkin.
John Tampkin. We had Jerry and George Gallo in our bunks with us for years. We were the greatest kids in the world.
Oh, that was a shame, yeah. Yeah, I can't remember who else was in that crew of ours. But during aquatic school, it was great because you could do whatever you wanted to do. There was nobody governing you. Nobody.
Right, right.
So we got
I think what Jay just said about nobody governing us, I think that's how we felt at camp, that nobody was governing us.
Well, it was true, though.
There were no adults.
Even when I was a counselor.
There really wasn't anybody watching over us. Or when we came.
Other than Aaron, Phyllis was in the office, and I think there was Larry Chaikin, who was a wonderful guy, who was there. But they were the only three adults in the entire camp.
Right. Looking back on it, I mean, they have department head staff meetings before camp during the year, get-togethers, and we had nothing.
We would show up 3 days before. Have fun for 3 days, and camp would start.
And
everything seemed to work well.
Yeah. I think it was a week orientation. The people that had never been there were a fish out of water for a couple of weeks.
Yep.
Till they learned what was going on. But it was, thinking back on it, there were no bosses. The head counselors weren't your boss. The director, nothing.
Certainly not.
I was responsible for the board.
The boys had, the director would be. I remember Danny Fishbane was... and also Aaron had a good control over the kid.
Well, Aaron had complete control.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it was different under him.
You didn't mess with Aaron. And I remember we would next that he had his cabin was next to the infirmary. And I think in one year,
correct,
like six or seven of us in the infirmary together.
This is a true story. Betty Sachs was the nurse at the time.
That's it.
And I don't know if and her husband had a jewelry store in Newton Center.
Okay.
And if my parents or someone else wanted to send a package of cookies or something, they would drop it off in Jay Sachs's station wagon, and he would drive up there once a week and deliver packages. And for some reason, we all got some sort of cold, and I think the entire bunk was sleeping in the infirmary became our bunk. But instead of us being as far away from the girls' area, we were right next to Birria. It was great.
Yeah, Birria. Yeah, so during aquatic school... did I do this ride by myself, Joey, down to Skunk Hollow? Do you think, or was this
late at night? Jay had his brown Cougar, which was a cool car, and for some reason he would drive out to Skunk Hollow just to spend some time with whoever he was spending time with. And on his ride back, I think he hit a rock, and we all had to tow him out of there. And it just for some reason, we've remembered it for years and years and years.
I took a sharp left. I remember I missed the road. And I hung my car up on these rocks, and it smashed out what was called my bell housing. I don't know what a bell housing was. I still don't. But all I know is I think it's part of the transmission, and my car was dead. So we had to just fish it out and drag it off the rocks and take it out of camp the next day. I was pretty upset about it. But
yeah. Rob, does that road still exist, that fire road?
Yeah.
Out to Skunk Hollow?
Yep.
And do they use that as they use it in the past for water skiing?
No. So water skiing is now to the left of the swimming docks.
Okay.
And well, Skunk Hollow, there's an inflatable water park.
Really?
Called the Wark. Yeah. Water park Wark.
It's Skunk Hollow. And how do campers get out there?
I think they walk out the road. Yeah. Really? And then you remember past the road, there's the campsite. I'm sure it's still there.
The campsite, I think, was first used probably when we were older campers, and we would have an overnight out there. I remember that. And I don't know if it was a designated campsite at the time, but we did camp out there.
Right, right.
And we also took a canoe trip across the lake.
Yeah, we did. That's right.
Somewhere on the other side.
What do they call it, the North River?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just wonderful.
We also could swim across the lake, and whoever you did with would take a little canoe, the kayak right next to you and go by you. But Joey, the story with Marty Alpern, and when we hit him.
That was great.
The detail, he'll tell it. He'll tell it better than I
will. You know that, Rob?
No.
So when we were in Talkeye, we had a co-camper, Marty Alpern, who'd been with us for years from Brookline, Mass. Good kid. And the story was that he was a one-month camper but wanted to stay for the second month. but there was either no room or no space. So for whatever reason, instead of leaving, we snuck him out to Skunk Hollow in a tent. And he lived there for 2 weeks, and we would take food from the mess hall, and we would take turns bringing it out to him. And he lived there for about 2 weeks until he eventually, there was space for him to come back, and he came back, and he was in our bunk, and it was this total secret. It's in the Kalano. It tells the whole story in the 1972 Kalano, I think. And at the end of the year, Aaron Gordon took credit. We thought it was the hoax on the camp, and Aaron Gordon said it was a hoax on us. Now, I think Aaron didn't know it was happening, but wanted to get credit for it.
Right. I agree.
And his parents knew, knew about this?
I think it strikes me now. Imagine my kid not coming home from camp. I would think that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. But either the parents were aware of it, or maybe in 1972, we didn't know where our kids were after, you know,
right,
all day
long. Right, right.
But he lived out there for 2 weeks. They would be water skiing. He would have to hide in the woods and no one saw him. And it probably was one of the great stories in the history of Tevye.
That is. I've never heard that.
It's in the, if you have Kalanos, I probably have them right above me right here on my bookshelf. Aaron tells the story, the hoax on Telcha, he called it.
Wow.
And
there was a time something. That we put, I'll say it this way, we put somebody on a raft and pushed it out into the middle of the lake, who was a really, really deep sleeper. His first name was Ron. Can I say the rest, Joey?
Yeah, Letterman.
So Ron Letterman was a deep, deep sleeper. And the counselor.
He was a great, he's a good guy.
Don't,
he's a
kids,
great
don't guy. Do this at home. Don't Super do this. Guy, don't, this don't do player. This at camp.
Really, really sweet. Really nice guy. But it was a deep sleeper. So they took him, picked him up, put him on one of those rafts, and pushed the raft off into the middle of the lake. And he woke up at sunrise on the raft. So that was another pretty good story.
That's a good one.
I remember once when we were in that bunk, we took all the beds. After dark, we took all the beds and put them outside.
Yes.
And when the counselors came back, the bunk was empty. And I can't imagine any of these things occurring in this day and age.
Right. No.
Bert Rosenthal. But anyway, somebody pulled something on us, and we wanted to get back at them with a trick. So we finally just got his keys to his car. He had like the station wagon in the sun, wherever they parked it in the front of the camp. And we got fish. Somehow we got some fish.
I have nothing to do with this story.
We put the fish
so
in.
So Bert Rosenthal out there, you were a good guy. Good guy.
He's a great guy, but we did do it. I'm admitting it, that we did it.
I got in trouble for a lot of Jay's deeds when we were younger.
I guess so. Huh?
You mean on the raid?
Correct.
So I went on a raid.
Do they still do that, Rob?
They used to.
Yeah, we did regularly.
Yeah, and I'm not sure today. Not sure.
We would get up in the middle of the night, and we would, if we were in the bunks back then, Telkai was towards the fire road. We would come down the little path by boating and canoeing, and we would walk behind the bunks, the Olo bunks and the Sofot bunks, to get to Beria. I don't know what we had in mind, nothing happened, but we just loved to go out there. And we came back one night. I wasn't part of this, but Jay certainly was. And whoever the boy's head counselor, I think his name was Marty Weadro, maybe at the time.
Yeah, he chased us.
No, he ripped me out of bed and screamed at me, but it was Jay's fault. And Jay hid under the covers and didn't own up to it.
He thought it was Jay.
They always thought it was my fault.
Yeah, yeah.
It was always your fault.
But I remember once we did that, and we were all, us and a group of very friends, girls who we were friendly with, we're friends with this day, Joanne Silverstein and a group of people, and we were sitting by boating and canoeing, probably 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, and a skunk came out. Yeah, and everybody said, don't move, and then Jay ran.
That was when Flo was there, right?
Flo Solomon was the girl's head counselor at the time. That's right. Good memory.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Then I got to be... The Scarecrow and the Wiz, that was one of my big, biggest entertainment. To this day, I still sing the song. I won't do it now.
That was the counter show. Jay was an amazing actor.
Yeah.
He always got one of the best voices. So Joey has like the worst voice. He's got so tone deaf. It's amazing. So when I was captain of either Negev or Galil, whatever, it was 120, each side had about 125 people, maybe 150. I don't know what it was. Mm-hmm. But it was a good number of people that said, Joey, I don't care how many people are singing, just mouth the words.
I can actually do this, and I'm going to come back. Do you remember this with the hands?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know the story you're going to tell. Tell the story.
No, I actually don't know this. Well, oh. I'm not sure. I just remember whoever was leading Songfest at the time, you would all have to stand up in unison and all sit down in unison.
Yeah, I still do it.
And really?
Hmm? I'm sure.
I don't know how we remember. It was Color War was great back then. It was Songfest. There was Drama Fest. There was this ongoing competition, whether it be softball or tennis or basketball every day. And it really was great. And we'd have the Apache Relay,
right?
Which we loved.
Can't say that. Can't say Apache.
The relay we had at the time, whatever they call it today.
Yeah.
What's it, the relay?
It's the Race to the Fire or the Hi-Ash Relay. You can't say Apache.
When we were campers, we would have a Maccabiah, which was a track and field race. We would have what we just described. And whatever the race to us counts as, we got to run the entire race.
Right.
I know I did it a couple times. I don't know if you got to do that. And it was just wonderful. A lot of fun and camp was just wonderful. I have great experiences, great memories, and still great friends.
It really shapes you. It builds your character, builds your confidence. It's just the camaraderie it really is. I can't say enough about it. One thing my parents did, I didn't come from a whole lot, but the fact they wanted to make sure I was in camp, and I'm unbelievably grateful for it. I really am. Because I can't imagine, Joey, I'm sure you can't either, not having experienced it.
No. It's a lifelong.
It's part of your heart. It's part of your soul.
It's part of who we are.
Right. Right.
And like I said, Rob mentioned at the beginning of the conversation, we just started talking recently, and it's like there's no interruption. If I see someone from camp that I was friendly with, I can pick up where it left off, and it's very easy.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I mean, when was the last time we saw you? I saw you, Rob. Was 50 years ago?
Probably. I mean, I was at the 50th. I was at the 50th. I don't know if maybe we saw each other then. I don't know. It's possible.
Yeah, it's both a, you know, it's a blessing, and it's also like, wow, 50 years is, you know, it's time to make sure you enjoy every day you have ahead of you. But it's whenever we say 50 or we begin the 60 years, or the fact that we're closing in on another big number is amazing to us. So,
and what I got was the kids today feel the same way, although
what I'd like to hear.
Experience is quite different, but they have 7.5 weeks now.
Well, not eight.
And it's 7.5. And Color War is like 3.5 days. That's it.
Yeah. So I do remember Color War starting in those days. You didn't know when it was going to start. And I think I remember one year we woke up and there were little colored pendants, safety pinned to the end of our beds, that they did it in the middle of the night somehow while we were sleeping. And that's how you knew what team you were on. And I also remember the girls coming into the boys' bunk with trash cans and banging them together before maybe a sporting event or something like that. Does that sound familiar, Jay?
I don't remember that. I really don't.
They would come into the boys' area and wake us all up very early. And it was just a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of fun. I loved Lake Potanapo. I loved listening to Aaron tell the story of Po Potanapo.
Which they don't tell anymore.
Really?
No. They retired.
Similar to the relay,
years
I guess.
Ago.
But we would sit around a campfire. We would have these little, I don't know what they call that you would burn to keep the bugs away.
Mm-hmm.
Like a punks, I think they called them.
Yeah, punks, yeah.
And you would light them, and Aaron would tell this wonderful story, and we'd sit around, and we didn't sit in these. I know they all sit in chairs now. We sat in the sand. We brought a towel. You know, I had two kids who were campers at Tevye. Both my daughter Alex and my son Ben went, but they would bring chairs. It was much different when they were there than when I was there.
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough to have a lot of family there too. You know, my sisters, my neighbors. What, Jay?
Do they still have beach days, like when it's really hot?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah. I mean, they did when I was a counselor, so I'm sure they do.
You would look forward to that beach day because it was so hot, and you would just spend the entire day. You always had to have a buddy in the water. That just popped back in my head. Mm-hmm. Buddies 1, 2, 3. And, you know, you would have an old swimming area, a soap swimming area, and then you could go out to the deep. Jay really couldn't swim, so he really didn't know about this.
Well, you wouldn't be my buddy.
That's not true. Jay is an always my friend.
I was, yes, that's very, very true. I was I was athletic. I just wasn't, you know, I was a decent swimmer.
He wasn't aquatic.
So Joey was an amazing water skier. I have to tell you.
We enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yeah.
He was really a good, great water skier.
You know, so if we talk about water skiing, so I guess they moved it because it was a very long walk for everyone that chewed up too much time.
So when I was on the water skiing staff, we would get there a little bit before, you know, first or second or third, whatever the period was. We would bring the skis down. We had two boats, and we would pile 10 kids into this tiny little water boat, mm-hmm. motorboat, and drive it out to Skunk Hollow. No one was wearing a life jacket. It wasn't, I don't think all the safety rules were in place. And I think now you couldn't have more than probably four people on a boat that size. So I just remember we'd all drive out there. We'd all drive back. It was wonderful to be out on the lake all day.
Yeah,
I loved it.
And then I'm hearing that before they switched it, switched the location, that the kids who weren't close to being in line to ski had to wait on the beach at Skunk Hollow, which I don't remember that.
We would sit on a T-shaped dock.
Yeah, yeah.
And we would decide, you know, whose turn it was to go. Everybody got a turn. Mm-hmm. You know, some kids, I clearly remember this, you know, some kids, they'd spend the whole summer trying to get up on two skis. And when they would finally get up, it was such an accomplishment. And they were so proud of themselves and so happy. And it was a great feeling just to help them do that. No matter what we did, I'm sure. I know I joked about Jay. Jay ran basketball games and baseball games or softball games. And I know he got to be the bench coach for the adults, for the counselor basketball team, which he was very excited about. But back then, there was athletics, there was boating and canoeing, there was water skiing, there was arts and crafts, there was camp craft. I'll always remember this guy, Dave Blum, was our camp craft counselor, and he was brilliant. And I know he went on to have a brilliant career afterwards in started a company called MathWorks. But he was our counselor. He was a drummer. Do you remember him, Jay?
Yep.
And taught us how to make fire and skills that... I hope I probably can't make fire today, but I can make a bed with hospital corners.
Exactly.
Well, the problem for me, I wore a life preserver when I was taking swimming lessons. So,
now Jay, I remember clearly trying out for the Olim team in 1974 on the SOFIM field, and saying this is going to be hard to make this team, and then you had to go to the boys' head counselor's cabin to see the list.
The list would be on the thing who made the team.
Oh my God!
Oh, that's funny.
Like an anxiety attack. Am I on the list every time?
You played first base, right? No,
catcher.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
But all throughout, I played catcher. I caught some good ones.
Uh huh.
And did you play Bowercrest and you played Telnoer?
Young Judea.
Who else we played?
Young Judea, right?
Young Judea. Maybe Natticook.
Litchhaven?
I don't think Litchhaven, Jay.
No.
No.
So Natticook's no more.
Really?
No.
They used to have the swim meet.
Yeah. No, Natticook's no more.
So that's out of business?
Yep.
And then Bowercrest, obviously, was a tough one.
Yeah, and they don't play Bowercrest anymore.
Really?
No. So I think game day is three games, aside from other sports that they play.
So who'd you say is out no longer?
Natticook.
Camp Natticook.
And they don't play Bowercrest.
No, I don't remember them that well. I know Telnoer was like a sister camp to Teviot.
Teviot, Telnoer, and Pembroke.
Yeah.
And still are.
Yeah. Nothing like winning at Telnoer.
Yeah.
Joe, do you remember Mark Litt?
I do.
I remember.
Yeah. He was a great guy.
How do you remember him?
I knew him and his wife when we were at UMass, and we knew there was some drama together. And Kerry, who I dated at the time, as you know, was part of that as well. So I know them after camp.
So when Jay and I would go to orientation, and I think we were a little rambunctious or a little crazy than we had to be.
What?
And Mark Litt didn't know us, and he was the boys' head counselor. Mm-hmm, right. And I remember him calling the two of us aside after day one or day two of day three of orientation, and Jay and I were just having a grand old time. And he said, I remember him looking at us very sternly and said, you two are never going to make it under my leadership. And about three weeks later, he said, wow, you know, you guys really are good with the kids, good with, you know, you get along great with the campus. You're really doing a nice job. And I was wrong. And I remember him saying that. I don't know why I remember it so many years later. but it felt good.
I remember now. Joey and I used to play step ball all the time. We loved it.
We still do. We still do.
Yes, when we go there, we love it, you know?
Yeah. So if I remember correctly, what we call the CIT cabin,
is that building
still there?
That's Tel Yehuda. That's Tel Yehuda.
So that particular step, if you hit it, you could get a home run over the fence into the tennis courts.
Okay.
If you hit it right on the edge.
Yeah, yeah, get it's perfect hit. Yeah. And I think Jay and I, you know, after we stopped in our 30s and 40s and 50s, we would drive up to camp and just play step ball when no one was there. I remember it clearly. I mean, you'd have probably a white tennis ball back then. They're all yellow now. And it was just a really good part of growing up. It was a great way to grow up.
Yeah.
We were very lucky.
I visited camp during like the fall, and it was open, you know, with the gate in the front. It would have a chain across, but the chain was down. So I drove in, drove around, looked at the camp and came out, and then the chain was up. And we couldn't get out. So we had to call the local police, and then they came and they started asking us things were missing or something from Tel Chai or the bunks. And I said, that would be like taking something from my own home. You know, that doesn't happen. I think I called John Cohen or something. I don't remember. But
it sounds like you have trouble with cars on camp. At camp.
Cars in general.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
I just took my driver's license over again. So
did you pass?
Sorry.
So it's funny Jay mentions that. Jay and I were in driver's ed together in high school when we were 16 years old, and all we did was laugh.
Yep.
Yep.
So we had camp together. We had
everything.
We became friends through camp, but we went to junior high, high school. To this day, our families are friends. Mm-hmm. So we're very lucky. I've been to Jay's daughter's wedding. He's been to my kids' weddings.
Joey's got the chutzpah. He's got more than I do. We would be driving down, say, Commonwealth Avenue. He'd say, hey, Rubes, look, there's as he calls me Rubes, there's a party up there. You know, and he'd point like to some party that. And I go, okay. So he goes and he parks. He goes, come on. I'm like, where's he going? Just nobody. We don't even know the people. And we go in and join the party and have fun and then leave. I mean, I could never do that. I don't have that type of the guts like he does. So.
Camp-wise, any other questions for us, Rob?
Well, you know, I think of the days where, you know, as an old limb, you're scared to death of Tel Chai at the end of the road. So when you go to Skunk Hollow, you just keep going, right? And now, Tel Chai is at the beginning.
Yeah,
I think I'd go home if I found that out. I don't.
Yeah,
you know, where the CIT cabin was.
Oh, and Tel Chai is where
everything's reversed. Everything's reversed.
The young kid, was it Yavna is down the end.
Yep.
Yeah, I think what happened was, whenever they changed it, I think late at night people were coming back, and they would walk by the young kid's cabin though they'd already gone to sleep. That's what I was told, and that they reversed it so the older kids wouldn't wake up the young kids.
Oh, okay.
Maybe they just wanted to keep an eye on them.
The young kids were now. Oh, maybe. Okay. Jay and I, we used to be ODs together at night, and we would sit in the boys' head cabin porch. Mm-hmm. It was a screen porch.
Yep.
And I remember one night, myself, Jay, and John Cotley were on OD, and we didn't really do anything. We just sit in the bunk and play cards and laugh and eat ice cream. And I remember the kids coming out of Boys Bunk 5 and asking us to be quiet because we were too noisy and we were keeping the campers up.
That's terrible.
That's a fact.
That's
and I don't know how I could remember. I know John Cotley was there, who was with us through our entire camp career. Great guy.
John's great. And I'm still friendly with Neil Futran, who was there as well for the years. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So now they're... I was going to say, there are no ODs anymore.
Are they in the bunks or something?
There's a counselor in every bunk now.
So I'll tell another funny story. But, you know, when we were campers, there was no supervision. And when we were in Tel Yehuda, our counselors were, I believe, Andy Urban and Barry Stevens. Do I have this right, Jay? And myself and Jay and John Cohen and some of our other bunkmates would play cards, you know, after the counselors would leave. And we were playing cards one night, 10, 11. For all I know, it was 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, but it felt like the middle of the night. And Andy Urban came back in. And instead of yelling at us, he said, can you deal me in? And that's what it was like in the late 60s and early 70s. Yeah. It was very relaxed and free. And maybe we took it a little far because we were pretty relaxed and pretty free.
Do you remember bringing Chinese food in at like midnight? Goody. And
I remember said they would bring pizza back.
I remember Chinese food once.
I would pick certain campers to come in my area that I set up that had three cubbies.
So when Jay was a counselor, the counselors would have the bunk on the front right and the front left and maybe in the back. Mm-hmm. But you would get there 2 days before. Jay, for some reason, would take up like half the space. Like he would set up a suite for himself with a couch and a fan, maybe two beds. And the campers were all squeezed in this tiny little. Jay would have three cubbies, five fans. He would use all the electrical outlets.
That's nice.
He had. I'm not going to tell this the story of the red little red suitcase he had.
Well, no, but we literally were every year except for one. Mm-hmm. Our bunks, our beds were next to each other.
Right? We would just have a wonderful time and. We would listen to transistor radios back then to the baseball game.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, whether it be AM radio, WEI or something.
Yeah, Eddie Edelman.
RKO.
You'd have a little earphone who passed away today.
Eddie Edelman?
Today.
Oh, really?
No way. Really?
Yeah, today.
Oh.
Yeah.
I remember that's sports, what was it called? Sports Huddle.
Yeah.
It was Eddie Edelman and, yeah, two other guys. I can't remember, but.
No, that was a great show.
And Joe, if you go in every bunk, I don't know what it is now. They probably painted over it. But we had our initials and something over over our beds. Are they still there?
I think they painted over them, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. I remember when my son went to camp, looking in the bunk, and our names were on the wall.
Yep.
Always.
Right. Not your name. Everybody else, all our bunk mates except Jay, because Jay was, you know, much more behaved.
Right.
You know, they would say, please don't write on the walls. And Jay would say, I'm not going to write on the walls.
I was OCD then too, right?
I don't think they had that word then.
Okay, well, maybe I made it up. No, it was great. It was great. So what's
we had a great bunk of guys. And there were two bunks in our age group. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, you always stayed with the same 10 people. And then somehow, when you got to Talcai, we sort of mixed into one. And we were just all friends. There was never a rivalry. It was just a really good friend group.
Sure, sure.
Are all the buildings the same? Other than, I know they they built the one for the basketball court and all that. But how about any of the other?
No. Well, so they built a building next to Friendship because there's so many staff that are older. I don't know everything, but the girls' head counselor's cabin is new. The director's cabin's new. The boys' head counselor's cabin's new. The infirmary, or as they call it, the health center, I guess, is the same. There's actually I haven't seen this. There's a new bunk between 7 and 8. You know,
in
where
the boys'
three,
area?
Yeah, where Three Finger Jed used to hang out.
No, so Three Finger Jed. So
no
bunk
more.
7 was a lot.
Yep.
Back then, and we used to sing a horrible song about the sweetie of a lot.
Of course.
And again, the things I imagine most of those things are frowned upon today.
Oh, yeah. We did that.
But we
can't tell you who it was, though.
Who's the sweetie? Who's the sweetie? Who's the sweetie of a lot? Yeah. I'm not going to sing it because Jay has the better voice. And then it would go from bunk 7. There was an open area back there for some reason.
Right.
You would climb up the mountain, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there's a bunk there now?
Yeah.
And when we were very young, there was a riflery range behind boys' bunk 4 and 5.
Yeah, you're right.
Really?
Wow, I forgot.
Yeah, you would shoot BB guns at a target, and there was like a platform of plywood.
Huh.
And I think riflery probably went away in 1968.
Yeah. Well,
how about the archery one was behind the rec hall,
Archery was on the right on Route 13.
Right behind.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, now it's you call that? I think behind El or to the behind El Bess.
We always called that Ulam Aluminum.
So when we were in Kitchen Boys, did they have Sunday slop when you were there, Rob?
I don't know.
Well,
you would get an assigned role every day, whether it be head table or spray or dishware.
Slop
Sunday slop was the worst job.
Okay.
And I kept getting it because I didn't get along with I forget who it was. It doesn't matter.
I can tell you who it was. Our kitchen leaders were Jeff Sawyer and Joel Pava,
and I didn't get along. Great guy. And, I wanted out. I didn't feel like slopping and kitchen work or whatever.
Yeah.
Jay wanted to go upstairs and lie down.
Yeah.
Because do the kitchen boys still live above the kitchen?
I think so. I think so. Yeah.
But they're not necessarily ex-campers, I don't think.
No, they're not 17 years old either, from what I understand.
We as Kitchen Boys, we were part of the camp community, mm-hmm. and it was great.
Yeah.
Do you remember Chocolate Roll?
I love Chocolate Roll. Tony Parenti would make Chocolate Roll.
That's right.
And probably the best dessert I've ever had. And Jay and I, when we were Kitchen Boys, we would go into Tony's bakery.
And steal.
He had like a cool room. And we would talk with him about everything. And I think one of my greatest experiences was meeting people from different backgrounds. And we would just talk for hours on end.
Yeah.
And he would always leave cookies for the Kitchen Boys.
Right? Talking to Larry Chaykin was really cool. And talking to
him. No. That's where we grew up, I guess, is what happened. And those people were our role models and still are.
Yep.
Well, Joey and I would have food fights, though, when our tables were next to each other in the mess hall. So that didn't set a very good message for the campers.
I don't believe I was part of that.
Yes, you were.
The worst was mini banquet, because you sat with your bunk and anything could happen.
Mini banquet?
So back then you would have one banquet at the end of summer, and that was it.
Mini banquet was the end. So the mini banquet was the end of the first month.
I remember that for my kids.
Yeah. A mini banquet, I think, is planned by Beery and Tel Chai now. And then regular banquet is planned by Kinneret Tel Yehuda.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's how it is now.
And what else? What's new there? Are there new facilities there?
There's a ropes course where the Olin Field used to be.
Yeah.
And I haven't been back in a long time, so a lot of this stuff's new. I haven't been back since 2009.
So the worst incident in the history of the Olin Field occurred when Jay and I were probably about, I'm going to guess, in Talkai, are you 15 years old, 16 years old?
Yeah, 15.
I think 15, maybe.
And we were playing softball, and my brother Matty was probably, he's 4 years younger, so he was a younger sophoter, an older Olo, and I think he was pitching. Am I correct, Jay?
Yes.
And you were batting?
Yes.
And Jay hit a line drive into my brother's face, and he had a black eye.
Awful.
And I think today, back then, they put ice on it, and you don't call the parents, nothing happened. He was fine. I think today he'd get sent to the emergency room and get sent home for the summer. But my brother always reminds me that Jay hit him in the face with a baseball and softball.
I felt really bad about that.
You should. Matty talks about it daily.
He doesn't.
Well, in practice, there was this kid pitching who was not the frontline pitcher, the frontline pitcher was my cousin Tommy Goodwin. So the second pitcher pitching, and I hit one back up the box, broke his arm.
Whose arm did you break? Tommy's?
No, this other kid who was pitching.
He came back. Jay spent an entire summer working on a scoreboard on the fence in the Bogram Field.
Tell me about that.
Well, what happened was I kept complaining. I always liked projects. Even as a kid, I did collages, and Joey would make fun of me. And I still do. Like creative projects. So anyway, I said, let's have the Green Monster. Let's put a scoreboard up. And we don't have a scoreboard. And I'm very persistent. Still am. And I said, okay, well, they wouldn't let me do it. So I got the counselors to get some wood for me and put it in the archery field where no one could see. And I put together a scoreboard. I painted it. I tried to make it look like the Green Monster. And then the counselors helped me and some campers, and we put it up on the left field wall, and we hung it up with like wires and stuff. And it stayed up there for a number of years, right?
Yep. Yeah. You were very proud of that work.
Yes, very proud.
So was that left field or is it?
Left field.
Left field.
On the tennis court fence.
I remember the one time I hit a ball, I hit a home run over the wall. I was just so happy, It's like, but that was a fun little, and it stayed, I think it stayed up for a number of years. I'm pretty sure it did. I don't remember, but
The rest of us were doing our daily work and Jay was out working on the scoreboard.
Well, and one time they had the number of feet posted on the tennis court.
How far a ball went?
Yeah, yeah.
Really? Ted Williams?
Yeah, I forget how 200-something feet. Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Maybe it was once. I don't know. I forget. 175? 200?
You're saying over the fence and onto that last tennis court, and they would mark where the ball landed?
No, I mean, the tennis court fence had the number of feet it was, like the Green Monster.
Oh, okay, the distance. Again, like Fenway Park. That's pretty cool.
And so how many days was color war? I can't remember because you said it's only—
It varied from summer to summer.
Was it more than 3 days? I don't remember.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah. It was?
It would go for 2 or 3 weeks.
It was a whole summer in the mid-70s. Yeah. It was a whole summer. And then when I was a captain in 79, it was like 2 weeks. And it still breaks as a surprise.
Yeah. We had parachutists come down and open it up. All different creative ways to start the start of color war.
Yeah. So when I was head of athletics, we tried to convince the camp that during flag lowering, the dining hall was on fire. We had dry ice with smoke out the window. We had an explosion behind the dining hall, but nobody bought it.
Wait, is that how they started color war?
Yeah. Yeah. And then we had the administration move everyone urgently to the Bogue Field to evacuate, but it didn't work.
Every morning we would go to flag raising, correct? And they would raise.
Yes.
And the other thing, we used to wait on tables back then as campers. And I think if you're a SOF or a Bogue, you would wait on a table.
Yep.
And everybody would sort of run in the morning to see who could get the closest table to the kitchen.
Right.
So we came up with this idea one year. And again, I think our bunk, we would tell Chai or whatever, hey, let's draw cards. And whoever gets the best card can get the closest table. So we don't have to get up early and run down. And I think this was Marty Alpern, the same kid who was out at Skunk Hollow. We all agreed. And in the morning, he got up and ran and just took the best table. But
I remember
it was fun to wait on tables.
Somebody in the kitchen would, when he was mad at the head counselor, I don't think it was Aaron Gordon, but he put his feet in the pitcher of punch that he served.
Bug juice. Again, I don't know anything about this.
It's your idea.
But we called it bug juice back then. And you would have these green plastic pitchers.
Right. And you had the paddle that you stirred it with.
You had
12 envelopes and you stir it up and then you get the pitchers. Yeah.
I also remember as a kitchen boy getting truckloads of food in. And there was like a cold room below the kitchen.
Yeah.
And it would go down a ramp and you'd get cereal and you'd get bulk food. And it was hard work.
Yeah.
Again, Jay would know about it, but the rest of us worked hard. I think Jay was napping.
No, but so, it really was. And that was Jeff Sawyer, right?
Jeff was the head of our kitchen. And Matt, who was in our kitchen in our bunk, eventually became a great guy.
You saw Matt, really? Right? You spoke to him?
Yeah.
Matt was in your office.
We've stayed in touch over the years. I'm sure you have too, Rob. Matthew Sawyer?
Who are you? I haven't, but I remember him well.
Really great friend to all of us. You know, when we were at camp, half our bunk was either from Newton or Brookline.
Mm-hmm.
So we even see each other, you know, during the winter months, we'd get together occasionally. And just, you know, again, lifelong friend. We don't see him as much as we'd like to, but he was a friend to us forever.
See, I don't know if you heard me say this. Like, I virtually saw no one in wintertime. No one. I lived in Worcester. I'd see a couple of people at get-togethers from the Temple Youth Group, you know, in this city or that city, but not much. So
our junior high school, there were probably 30 kids from camp.
Yeah.
You know, of all different ages. My next door neighbors, my behind the house neighbors were the Barnett family.
Four brothers went.
Yeah.
They were there. Who else? In my neighborhood, there were families that went there. And like I said, I had cousins. All on my mother's side were there. And I had two sisters and a brother.
Right. I remember both of them well.
So my brother was Maddie, younger. Mm-hmm. My sister was Linda. And my sister Susan actually became the girls' head counselor for a couple of seasons.
Right.
She was the head while Phil Dresner was the men's head, right? Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, Phil was
that sounds
good,
right.
That's a shame. Yeah.
Yeah. But so, I mean, a couple other changes. Sailing docks are not where they were.
So because I was on the water skiing dock, the sailing docks, you know, there was like a competition to get to the boat. So it was myself and whoever was on the ski staff with me. And Neil Futran was always on the sailing staff.
Yeah.
Alan Barnett was always on the sailing staff. And they would have a couple of sunfish, a couple of small, I don't know what they called, the little smaller boats.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a catamaran, which was the big thing. So where are the sailing docks now?
They're over by boating canoeing. No, I haven't seen. I don't know if they're docks, or I really don't know. But I haven't seen. I haven't been there. But that's where they moved to. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I think Jay tried to be a boating and canoeing counselor, but he didn't have the water skills. But there used to be a huge canoe. I don't know what they called it. Do you remember this, Jay?
Huge canoe.
There was the war canoe. I think they called it.
I think I remember that. Was it something getting renovated or something?
No, it was a. instead of an aluminum canoe that maybe had two people paddling it, you could put several people, and we would go out. We called it Olim Navy, and we would go out in canoes and try to sink the other boat. Again, in 1968, you could do anything. I don't think today you could do anything close to that. And I remember when I first got there, I could barely swim, and I'm thinking they're going to drown me in the middle of a lake. And it was an activity. Does that sound familiar to you, Jay?
Yeah, it does. And I remember the other activity was taken. I loved the kayaks that we took out. And we went canoeing and went up the North River. Is that what you said?
Yeah, we did that in canoes. But later on, they would have these red plastic kayaks, which became really fun. But boating and canoeing was not an elective. It was like you would choose electives, and then you would have sports or tennis or arts and crafts or Bakud, I think, or Shirah. Jay was very good at Shirah.
Oh, there he was.
And Maury Bly-wise.
And we had culture back then. They still do that?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a pretty well-rounded day and a pretty full day.
Plus, right. I love the whole you know, getting connected with Judaism and, you know, having the – it was never really, oh, boy, you know, we have to go to services. We actually enjoyed it, you know, if I remember correctly. I mean, Friday night.
No, it wasn't very natural, and you're with friends.
It wasn't like anything – that was a hassle to anybody. We actually enjoyed it. Everyone looked so nice, and everybody got dressed up in the whites and the blues. They still do that, right?
Yep. And the heads of culture were fantastic, all of them. All that I remember, all the way up to my last year.
That wasn't my favorite activity, I have to admit. I didn't like culture.
I wanted to get married in the Dell, and then have my my honeymoon in the Riviera, but we didn't do it.
The Riviera.
Oh, I know what I want to ask. So the Riviera, I asked a question on the Facebook group. Who named the Riviera?
Before our time.
They think it was Aaron Gordon.
When we got there, I started in 67, Jay started in 66. The Riviera was the Riviera.
Yep.
Dell was the Dell. And the soccer field was the golf course.
And what was the point?
The point?
What was the point of what?
No, didn't they call an area near the Riviera the Point?
I think
Point. Yeah, it was a little bit past it.
Okay,
I think looking at Potanapo, to the left, there's also a town beach. I think in between there may have been a little area.
Yep. Okay.
But the Riviera, we would have like our Saturday evening services there.
Havdalah.
And Havdalah, and it was beautiful. It was really nice, and the sun would set over the lake.
Yeah, I really look forward to, especially with.
I can always remember the girls carrying the candles and dancing beautifully and singing the song that I should remember, but my mind is escaping me.
Yeah.
Thank God.
But when I hear it today, I get very happy.
Yeah.
And Jay and I still know the long version.
I could do the shit.
Shehamalas.
Start to finish. It's just stuck in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't sing it, please, Joey.
It was a good identity to have, and it stuck with me for my whole life. And Jay said the same thing.
Is the photography room still in the back, like behind the rec hall down below?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Do they still have photography?
I think they have video production. You know, they have more up to date.
I think things have advanced since film.
Yeah, I don't think they're making pinhole cameras.
Yeah,
that's when we use Polaroids, right?
No, but is there a ping pong room still?
Oh yeah, ping pong room.
I remember
that's a room that was underneath the rec hall, where the stage would be today. And there was a room underneath. They called it the ping pong room. We just hang out there for hours on end and have fun.
And you know what else they had there a number of years was a radio station.
WCMP.
Yeah.
I remember that. And we could listen to it on our little transistor radios.
Yeah. I don't remember that.
They had it for a couple of summers and it probably lasted. And it was one of the electives.
And Joey's older than me. I don't know how you have such a good memory.
I'm actually approximately 5 days older than Jay.
5 days? Yes. Well, that explains it.
If all things being close, our birthdays are 5 days, 6 days apart.
Yeah.
Now, I can't imagine having not had this great experience at camp.
Yeah, really, sure. We all feel the same way.
And when I think of names of people, I think I remember all 300 kids at camp. I remember when they had the first reunion, they sent out a list of who was going. And Jay and I were so excited to see, there's Ken Krasinski or whatever names that just that we thought of, and we would laugh, and we had, there were kids in our bunk for 9 years who never said a word.
That's right. We miss you, Phil Singer.
I didn't say names. Jane, we don't name names. Well, but we had a great group of young men at the time, and we were very friendly with a lot of the girls that I'm very friends with Joanne Silverstein to this day. All the girls who are our age have also been lifelong friends.
And we miss you, Bob Salzberg.
He was a kid in our bunk.
Okay.
It's a good guy.
Had a sermon for services when our bunk ran services, and they skipped his sermon. He was very upset.
Oops.
Yeah. But he ended up actually working for one of the radio stations in Boston as a sports broadcaster.
Okay.
Rabbi, I didn't do my sermon yet. I'm sorry. He's really upset. He wrote a great sermon. And for some reason, you know, and that was a real honor as a camper to do the sermon. And the rabbi just forgot. Was there a rabbi? Was it Murray?
No, Murray Blau was the music director, and he was great. And after dinner, we would chant, "We want Murray," and he would get up and play songs. And after the counselor show, he would get up the next morning at the piano, and they would redo the whole show. Sure. And I think he was my guitar teacher growing up. I'm not very good at guitar, so he wasn't much of a teacher. But does the camp always have a rabbi?
No, I mean,
I think we had.
I think we did, because I remember.
Judah Mintz was his name.
Who?
Judah Mintz. I don't know if they were rabbis or the head of culture, but they had that role.
Right, and several became rabbis.
So maybe they were en route to that, or they were studying
some of them
at rabbinical school. But the name Judah Mintz, I remember clearly.
Mm-hmm. That's a good memory. I wouldn't have come up with that. So,
do you know who your counselors were in Herzliya?
My counselors? No.
We had Eric Arno.
Okay.
Some guy named Jesse something. I don't remember it.
Jesse Owens.
Jesse something. And then we always had this counselor, Bill Greenspan, year after year. And he had a dog. And his dog's name was Herman.
Herman.
And Bill seemed to be 40 years old. He was probably 22 years old at the time, or 21. But he was our counselor year after year after year. And Jeff Altman was our counselor multiple times.
But he visited us. He would come visit us.
He visited you, Jay.
Off camp. He visited me, and he'd stay at my house. You know,
that was a Jay thing.
Okay.
I think he became a professor at the University of Bridgeport.
Yeah, he's a smart guy. But his dog, he was very close with Aaron Gordon. He was a great tennis player.
Yeah.
Really good tennis player. And Aaron let his dog come to camp, Herman, and he was like the mascot of the camp. And
Herman could be in front of Aaron's house, and we could be on the steps of Boys Bunk 1, and Bill Greenspan could go, "Herman, come," and he would come.
He would.
I don't know if it's a quarter mile or 500 yards. The way I remember the camp distances, when we used to run races, we would have the 220, the 440, and the 880 were distances, and the 880 was a half mile. And then they had what they called the Skunk Hollow race. We'd run an 880, come back to Telkai, all the way to Skunk Hollow, and come back. And it was like the most long distance race, and it was probably 2 miles.
Yeah.
But it seemed so unsurmountable at the time to me.
Sure, sure.
I would run the 50-yard dash.
Well,
and
one season
I had a bone issue growing too fast. It's called osteochondritis desiccans, where I grew like 7 inches in 1 year, so all the blood vessels hadn't, you know, combined and come together, etc. Anyway, so I didn't want to miss camp. So Aaron let me bring my bike. And I don't know if you remember that, but was I a counselor then or camp? I was a camper.
No, you were a camper.
Right.
We were in Boys Bunk 5, maybe older. No, maybe 8, Masada. And Jay had crutches and a bike, like a Stingray. And he would ride it around camp like, "Mister, I'm the best big shot."
No, but it actually helped me with the healing. But my parents were older parents. They were 45 or 40 when they had me. So what I found out later is they used to go up past the Olin Field, up in that with a roadway.
Route 13.
With
binoculars.
To see if I was okay, to wait.
Oh, is that right?
And I would be coming back from the dining hall. Yeah.
But can you imagine sending a kid to camp for 8 weeks with a bone disease on crutches and just, it was fine.
Yeah.
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 You know, it was a good, all the summers were good summers.
Mm-hmm.
you know, obviously the best one was the one the day wasn't there, but all the summers were good summers. We really had a good time, and we had a great group of people around us, and we looked after the counselors. We enjoyed having the campers. Every activity, breakfast, lunch, and dinner were good. Now, as counselors, we would sleep through breakfast sometimes.
Sure.
You remember that, Jay?
We would do what?
Sleep through breakfast.
Yes.
The kids would say, hey, it's lineup, Jay. And Jay would go, just go without me. and bring me back some Sugar Smacks. You would get a little box of cereal you could open up.
Pancakes.
And Sugar Smacks were the best.
That's right.
Yeah, everyone would run for sugar cereal.
Yeah.
You know, the food wasn't that bad considering it's all
food was great.
Scary stuff, you know.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, except for shepherd's pie and tuna burgers.
I don't remember that. I remember,
Tuna burgers.
I remember peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. If we didn't like the food, we'd get a peanut butter and jelly, and that was a big deal.
Yeah. I remember we were going to Bower Crest, so we had to eat early, and they served tuna burgers. I'm like, we're playing a game, and I'm like, you serve me tuna burgers? Really?
What I remember also was it must have been on – there was one morning we had Super Bunk cleanup. Was that Friday morning?
Friday, yep.
And you would make your bag lunch at breakfast.
That was fun.
And then you would have the lunch with your bunk somewhere on camp. And I also remember my favorite part of camp, it sounds, was free play.
I think it was
after dinner but before evening activity. Mm-hmm. And we would just be able to run amok.
Right.
And everybody in camp was running. Jay would sort of lie down in his bed and take a nap.
Do you see what this is like 60 years of this?
I see. I don't know how you put up with this.
I used to tell him, listen, you're talking too much.
That's true.
You know, well, tell me, give me a signal.
Don't say it.
Because to this day, we've kept it a secret. But there's one word that I would say, because we don't want anyone at his home to know.
My wife just tries to get the word out of Jay.
Right.
Because it gets me to shut up.
She guessed like 500 names.
And we'd go, Jay and I would go to the baseball game and, you know, it'd be the first inning. And then in the ninth inning, I'd still be talking. And Jay could say, could you shut up for one inning? And I said, just give me a word. And he gave me this word that we use to this day. And my wife is guessing at it all the time, but she hasn't come up with the word.
No.
And quite honestly, the older I get, I'm not sure I remember the word, but Jay does, and I think I know what it is.
It's not lemon tree.
No. No one's allowed to guess.
I'd say the word, and then until I said the word again,
I couldn't speak.
Gotcha.
And we know that to this day, so I'm not going to use it now because I don't want to cut him off. But
we had great field trips. Didn't we go to the Manchester Yankees?
Yes, we did. A
farm league baseball team in Manchester, New Hampshire. We'd go to Whalen Park.
We got kicked out of that. And
we did get kicked out of there. And I know why.
Not because of us.
No. The older campers.
An older camper said something in Spanish.
In Spanish. Jay and I say it to each other to this day.
About a certain body part. And he said it to, who did he say it to? Did he yell it out or something? I don't remember.
Again, we were probably 9 years old.
Yeah.
I don't know. But his name was Michael. And his last name was... That's what I think it is, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, he said something that wasn't nice in Spanish, and we all had to go home. Yeah.
I think it was Hoochstein.
And what was the name of the amusement park we go to?
Whalen Park.
We also went, to this day, they go to Canopy Lake Park.
Right. I think Whalen now is condominiums.
Yeah.
But back then, you go to Whalen. What's that, Jay?
The Whalen is out? No more Whalen?
Yeah, that's long been out of business. It was in Lunenburg, Massachusetts.
Yep.
And I drive by to this day on occasion when I'm out there in that area. And we also went to this cathedral in the woods. Cathedral in the woods.
Yes. I don't remember going to that. I've heard of it, but I don't remember going.
It was like an outdoor.
Cathedral in the Pines.
Cathedral in the Pines. An outdoor prayer space, I think, for all religions. Didn't sound like a fun field trip, but I remember going there.
Yep.
And where else would we go back?
Did you ever go to the Anheuser-Busch Brewery?
But I did not. No,
I never went, but I know kids did.
I've seen pictures of it in old Kalanos.
Yeah.
And then visiting day, Joey's mom, who was wonderful, recently passed, and she would make these brownies. These
blonde brownies.
Yeah, blonde brownies that everybody ended up knowing about. So there'd be like almost like a line to get them. Of course, I'd get there early and take as many as I could. And you know, years ago when my parents moved from Newton down to Framingham, I used to stop at Joey's house. He'd be away. I'd take a shower. I used his house as
And my mother, I remember my mother saying, you know, Joe, I used to have 12 of these glasses, but now we're down to one. You know what happened to all my glassware? And Jay would pour himself a drink and take it with him.
Yeah.
So we were his home away from home. And he was a great friend. And we were happy to have him.
His parents were my second parents.
And same with Jay's parents.
Yeah. Jay's,
so his father, Mo, retired before everybody else because he was a little older. And he would take us around and drive us around. And we had a great time.
But Joey called him Moss because his name was Morris.
Maurice.
The drunk guy once that couldn't say Morris. He'd go, hey, Moss. Joey was allowed. Joey called him Moss. He never called him.
He was a good dad to all of us. Yeah. He really was.
So I want to close with one story. So visiting day, you know, is now not like it was.
I know.
Mad dash to get in, mad dash to get out. Get out, go shopping, get haircuts, which I find, I don't know, it's quite different. But in 1979, it rained in the afternoon.
And the visiting day?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
So the contingency plan was that they piled everyone into El Bes to do another staging of the Camper Talent Show. So I said, Mom and Dad, get in the car and go now. Because I got on stage and did a comedy routine and I got fewer laughs that day than in front of the camp. So that's my story.
That's funny.
I just don't remember rainy days at camp. Did it rain at camp?
It did. I mean, I can remember it raining like 5 straight days once, which is just being inside.
I just don't remember it raining.
Neither.
Yeah. It must have rained every summer. I don't remember it raining.
Really strange. I don't either.
But I remember yellow raincoats.
In 77, there was a hurricane. We had to...
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah.
We were gone by then, right?
And ended up being nothing, but... The boys' area had to sleep in the dining hall.
Really?
Along with the Beau Grote, yeah.
I think we had something like that also at one time, where we all sort of had a shelter in the dining hall.
Yeah.
And I just don't remember what or why, but I do remember it.
Yeah. Well, this has been great catching up. I'm sure we could go another hour.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Fantastic. Jay Rubens, thanks. Joey Karras,
just so you know, this is Jay and I do this every day.
I'll bet.
So it's fun to share with you into our camp community. We're really proud to have been part of it.
Well, thanks for spending the time.
For taking the time.
Thanks.
Anybody watching who's thinking of going to Tevye, you gotta experience it. It's the greatest experience of your life. No question about it.
Well, thanks for joining
me. Thank you, Rob, for your time. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
So if you want to catch up, you can find the One Mason Road podcast on YouTube, Spotify, and all other social media platforms. Catch up on the One Mason Road Camptivia Facebook group. And again, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Have a great evening.